You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer. Welcome to the Australian Finance Podcast.
I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And we're here to give you the tools and knowledge to invest both your time and money better.
If you're new, feel free to jump in with our Starter Pack series that aired in early 2022, or our Shares or ETF mini series.
We've got plenty to share with you in today's episode, but if you want to catch us on socials,
head to Rask Australia on Insta and Twitter.
I'm also found at Kate Campbell AUS on Insta.
And I'm Owen Rask AU on Insta.
Just beware of the fake accounts. We'll never DM you about trading strategies or crypto. And if it sounds a bit weird, it's probably not us.
And just one final heads up before we get into the show. This podcast contains general financial information only. Kate Campbell, welcome to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
It is wonderful to be back, Owen Rask, to talk all about saving today, something that many of us want to do this year or have been struggling with or want to get a little bit better with.
Yes, goals do change, savings rates do change, but what doesn't change is hopefully the mindset and the belief that you can do it. And hopefully by the end of this episode, we can help a lot of folks who may be struggling to take their first steps or the next step onto their savings goals.
And saving often doesn't get talked about. It does seem a bit dry and boring, but I really think it's an essential skill as part of our financial foundations, because to invest, we have to save some money to invest, and we need to save to build our emergency fund, to go on a holiday, to buy a house, to pay off debt. So it's really an essential foundation that if we can find some tips and tricks that work for us to make it easier to work towards whatever's most important to us right now, we've got those skills for life, because once you've done it once, you've worked towards paying off debt or building your emergency fund, you've built those skills of regularly putting money aside, understanding what's coming in and out of your bank account, staying accountable, and you can replicate that in investing as well.
Mm. We talk a lot about the mindset around money, the mindset around investing, and this is definitely a mindset thing. Getting people ready and in the mindset to build a sustainable savings strategy. It's like people who go on those crazy diets. If you try and save everything at once, what you'll find is that in the month two or month three, it's simply not sustainable. And what you will see if you do have a sustainable savings habit is lots and lots and lots of little bits being saved over a lifetime is what really does compound. Just a quick question before I get to my main question. Are you a perfect saver?
Nope.
No, me neither. And I think that's really important to acknowledge is that I don't think I've met someone who is a perfect saver, someone who can say hand over heart that they've done everything exactly the way it should be and has never been a wrong footing.
But life's messy, Owen.
It is messy. And I think I would be the first to admit that I am, personally, I am more of a spender personality type. I am. When I do those quizzes that so many people have, it's either spender or investor. I'm not worried about spending money. I obviously don't like rack up credit cards, never had a credit card actually. But I do like to buy things. I do like to spend money on experiences, for example. But when it comes time to it, I do make sure I'm saving and I'm investing. So why should I save?
Most of us want to buy something in the future. And many of the things we want, we can't buy with just one paycheck alone. So maybe we have $500 left over this month, but that's not enough to take us to Europe or buy a house or pay off debt. So we need to save to accumulate more resources to go on that big holiday we want overseas or pay off debt or build our emergency funds. So for me, saving's about working towards longer term goals and things we want to buy, whether it's assets or holidays or cars, rather than things that we're buying immediately, like buying a coffee. I don't think about saving in that context. I'm just spending money there. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to spend money on something bigger in the future, then I need to save to get there.
Yeah. So you've got to have that savings goal. If that's the thing, that's kind of the first thing. You're saving towards something. And then you kind of execute, you find a way to do that based on your income.
Yeah. And for me also, saving gives me a lot of confidence as well, because I know I'm putting resources away that will give me more choices in the future. And one of those things is having my emergency fund. So I've got, like, say, 6 months of living expenses in my offset account that if I ever need it, I can break the glass, take the money out and use it to go and see a sick family member.
Mm. Someone actually did use that analogy when they wrote into us on the podcast the other day. They did say, you know, that break the glass in case of emergency. I've seen those on the buses and trams and those types of things. The thing is, Kate, not a lot of people can save, and the data seems to reveal that.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of reasons why people can't save or they've found it difficult in the past. I mean, there's just so many life events that get us stuck. And some of the research by Melbourne Uni found that 77% of Australians have regrets in relation to their finances. And that's especially in relation to saving and not being able to save enough money. And one in five Australians have less than $1,000 in savings, and one in two have less than $10,000.
I think that's worthy of a pause for a moment. So, one in every five people you walk past in the street have less than $1,000 in savings, and half of those people have less than $10,000. I recently put this onto X or Twitter of all places. I put some of these statistics out there, but I, instead of using the University of Melbourne research, I did cite that, but I also cited what people actually had in their bank accounts. And even amongst the biggest banks, it doesn't matter for age group, it's actually very, very concerning. So the maximum kind of average was around about 22,000 that I could see. So people, most people listening to this podcast will be able to hear this and go, I'm actually doing all right. You know, I'm like, maybe you don't have 10,000 in there right now, but just by listening to this podcast, you will be okay.
Mm.
But the average person doesn't have that much money saved.
And I think it's important to start this conversation by acknowledging that there's a lot of different life events that set you back financially. And so understanding that, even if it's in relation to helping a friend or family member with their finances. So the research showed that, like, one of the leading causes of people getting set back financially is separation and divorce, physical health concerns, caring for another family member with needs, health concerns, mental health issues, job loss, domestic violence, financial abuse. So there's a lot of reasons why people are set back financially that are absolutely nothing to do with their behavior and with their finances. It's not just because they can't save or can't manage their money. There's a lot of other reasons at play too.
This is the thing. And when I put this out onto Twitter, a lot of people were like, everyone just needs to start saving more money. Yeah, but it's not always that simple. It's not as simple as, you just earn more and you spend less. You know, sounds great. But the reality is you might have a family member who needs help. They can't afford their rent. They might have a mental health problem. They might have a drug addiction and you feel responsible. You might have a child with a disability and it's more costly for you. There are so many reasons why it's very, very hard to feel like you're making progress. And all the data seems to show this.
Yeah.
And but you can do it.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about in this episode. We're acknowledging what has got us here and then also thinking about, well, how can I take these next steps forward to have my first $1,000 and be one of those Australians with over $1,000 in their savings account. So I think now we want to get through some of the important skills and tips we've got for saving.
Yeah, sure. A lot of people say there are valid reasons why they don't save, and I think that's important too. So, like, why don't people save? There was a really interesting stat that you pulled out here, Kate, which was about 28% of people say they don't trust financial institutions or financial advisors. So that's like stopping you from improving your financial situation. 23% are overwhelmed. 16% say I don't have the skills. 16% say I don't have the time. So just by listening to this podcast, again, you're already ahead of the curve, because I hope that you, by now, you can trust us. We're not selling you anything. You can trust us that we're going to give you information that we think is honest and genuine.
It's interesting, Owen. I'm just having a look. This research by Uni of Melbourne was done in 2019 before mm-hmm. cost of living became a phrase that we're throwing around at every conversation we're having. And so only about 2% of people cited cost of living for a reason they couldn't get ahead financially. I'd imagine that's quite different. Oh,
that
now.
Would have to be the highest, surely. The thing that really, it doesn't surprise me, but it concerns me, is that nearly one in three people don't trust financial advisors or financial institutions.
And this was right when the Banking Royal Commission stuff was hitting every headline.
Yeah. And so it doesn't surprise me that this is there, but it does concern me because now, like, we've cleaned up the finance industry in a big way. Podcasts like this, it's not just ours. There are many others out there. There are many people out there trying to do the right thing. So I think now is the time to open your mind to that. And, you know, 90,000 people listening to the show would say that, you know, you can come at any level. It doesn't matter where you're at and you can start to learn. So at least that's one of those things gone. And because of podcasts and maybe even social media to an extent, now you can consume the information at the time that works for you. Like if you're driving your car or you're on the tram or maybe you're doing a workout or something like that, you can actually listen to this. So the time element is now no longer there. I think if you can dedicate a few minutes every week to doing that, you're well on your road. So people that do want to save, Kate, one of the concerns is they don't know how. Mm. What would you say to them?
One of the really important pieces of advice that I've received and has helped other people is just you really need to know at a high level what is coming in of your bank into your bank account each month and what's going out. Because if you don't know that, then it's really hard to get ahead financially because you just don't have a handle on what the money left over, or maybe you have a negative amount because you're using a credit card each month. So if you can just start with looking at a high level and going, what's coming in each month and what's going out? And before making any changes, just getting comfortable knowing, okay, these are my sources of income. This is how regular it is. Maybe I'm part-time or a contractor, so it's a little bit less regular. You can't set your watch to it. So you have to understand that as well. And these are the areas I'm spending the most money on each month. And then roughly how much money do I have left over each month and where has that been going historically? So that gives you a looking back to the last 1 to 3 months, you know what your money has been doing.
Yeah, that's probably the most overwhelming part of this whole process. And that ties into what a lot of Gen Zs are saying in they just kind of feel overwhelmed. I don't know how, but they just feel overwhelmed. And that's just a really just about opening your eyes. It's just about, and I mean that sincerely, is just opening your eyes, using your eyes to look through your bank statement, even if you don't download it. Even if you're not getting the highlighter out, you're just looking through it. Where did I spend money? Oh, there's a fair bit of money there. The key thing when you do this, I think, Kate, is that you're kind to yourself. Because no matter what age you are, you've probably got something you spent money on yesterday or the day before you thought probably didn't need to spend on that. And those are going to happen throughout your life. And it's very easy to fall into that negative mindset of shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that. And that's terrible. That's a bad move. You know, all these negative connotations. Try and be a bit kind to yourself as you go through this process.
Yeah, it's almost looking at it like a scientist and going, okay, this is what's happened in the past. This is where the money's gone. What are some of the conclusions I can draw from that? But then what can I do going forward? So I don't know, you don't want to be detached, but I think looking at it kind of like from as a third person and going, okay, this is what's happened. It doesn't reflect on me and my personality and who I am, but these are the changes I want to make going forwards, I think, as well. So just acknowledging where you are right now is a really important first step before you start to make some changes.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, are going to look at their bank account and go, I'm not very good at saving. I think saving is kind of like a thing that you improve on over time. It's not something like you go in and you get a makeover and then tomorrow you're all of a sudden a saver. It's like something you'd go to the gym. You would have to flex your muscles. You would have to pick up the weights. You'd have to go regularly. And after a few months, you'd see the benefits. It's not going to happen straight away. And so I think if the first instinct you have is, oh, I'm not a gym person, well, you're probably not going to do that. I don't run. I don't exercise. It starts with that mindset of just being, okay, I did this. Now what can I do to improve it? A little bit incremental every day. And I think that's how I've always approached it. I've never tried to like conquer Everest in one day.
Yeah. And once you've worked out what's coming in and what's going out, and if you do have a bit left over each month, say $200, Emma Edwards, when she was on our podcast recently, talked about thinking about that money left over, once income minus all of your necessary expenses equals $200 each month. And maybe historically you've just used that to buy a few things that you've wanted or go out with friends. But that's your opportunity. Mm. So over the next 30 days, you can find, well, maybe I can spend a little bit less of that $200 so I can put $50 in my savings account this month. Mm. And then maybe next month I can put $100. And then slowly I can look at some of my fixed expenses and see if I can reduce any of the costs there, or I can look at my income and see if there's any ways to increase that. So it's not tackling every area at once. It's not trying to go in, get a pay rise this month, cut all your bills in half, and cut a heap of your fund spending.
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of those shows where it's like 10 tips for this and 20 tips for that. At the beginning of every year, if you're new to the show, we do one. It's like 24 ways to save and invest. If you're looking for those kind of quick wins, those are the episodes for you. But when you're building that foundation, you probably want to take that money and you want it to be sacred. You worked for it, so put it somewhere where it can work for you. One of the easiest places to put that is in what we call an emergency fund. So an emergency fund is just your cash account. Typically, if you own a home, it's in your offset. But typically, if you don't own a home, it's in a savings account that's separate from your main bank account. So you might have another bank that just has a good interest rate. You put the money in there. You can always transfer it back, but you want it in there. And that's for emergencies. Car breaks down, you get sick, lose your job, these types of things. That's where that goes. And you want to, if you haven't already got that, get that in place as soon as possible. So once you've established, where am I spending? You've then looked and you've gone, okay, well, maybe I can cut out these a few things this month. Now I've got my $200, as Emma has said, what do I do with that? Where do I put that sacred amount of money? Yeah. And that's your emergency fund typically.
And that's the next big tip about saving. You want to create a goal that feels important and meaningful to you. And for many people at the start of their journey, that is putting money aside so they've got an emergency fund when things go wrong. But maybe if you have that emergency fund put aside, what's most urgent and important to you right now? Well, maybe you want to go on a holiday with your family at the end of the year and you think, oh, roughly I need $5,000. I've got 8 months to go, 10 months to go. How am I going to break that down? So thinking, well, what's most important to me right now? I try not to have too many different financial goals because it can be hard to feel like you're making progress if you're putting $50 here, $100 here. So think about, well, what's most important to me to work towards with my finances? What do I want to save towards? And then you can work backwards from there. So if you need $12,000 in 12 months, well, you're going to need to find $1,000 each month to put in your savings account. You don't have that much left over each month. Well, how can we change some things? Maybe increasing our income, side hustle, cutting out expenses, selling
stuff. Yeah.
How am I going to get to that $1,000? So thinking, what's your number one priority right now? How much are you going to need to save? We don't often have an exact number. It might be roughly this amount for a holiday. What's your time frame? How urgent is that goal to you? And what the end result looks like? So you really paint the picture of what this goal is for you.
I think that's for people that haven't got the savings account set up with $1,000 in it. I think I've been in this situation. I was in this situation a lot of my life, to be honest. I think that it's just a constant feeling of fear. Like everything could be taken from you. You're not worthy. There's a lot of imposter syndrome. Imagine life without that fear. Imagine if like you could just put a list of your biggest fears right now. If finance is at number one, imagine that wasn't on the list. Imagine how much that would affect the other things that are on your list. That's what the end result probably looks like. It's that feeling of, okay, I'm confident now. I feel like, you know, I'm in a horrible situation. I've got this money behind me. I feel good that I got to this point. But now I feel like I can take on anything. I can walk away from that horrible situation if I need to.
And a significant number of Australians say that financial stress impacts their mental and physical health. So if you can take that off your plate by giving yourself a bit more of a buffer, having some money put aside for all of those unexpected expenses that always seem to pop up that you just can't budget for, like that can take a huge amount of stress off your plate.
And you mentioned, you know, mental health, physical health, all those types of things that it can influence, but also relationships. It can really, really take a toll on relationships. And sometimes the relationship is the cause of the money issues. So that can be a further problem, but imagine you can release some of that. That would be a wonderful thing. So we know, you know, we've got a bit of a goal that people can have. They can reflect, they can say, well, this is what my future state, I want this to look like. This is how I want to live in 3 months, 6 months from now. How can they actually get there?
Yeah. So once you've got this goal, I think it's really important on a monthly basis to have some tool that's tracking your income and expenses. And maybe for some people, they love to write everything down. I know Jess Irvin has created a really good money diary. If you're a I don't know what it's called when you like to write things down.
Yep.
But if you're one of those people like
you're
me,
a writer.
this is a great money diary. It takes you through 12 months and you can use that to track all of your spending and categorize it and reflect on it. So that's helpful. Or you could use a spreadsheet, or there's apps like PocketSmith or some of your banks. Like I'm with CommBank and that categorizes everything. So I get an idea of where I've spent my money for the month. So having some idea of where it's going so you can check in each month is quite important.
Oh, absolutely, it is. And a lot of the banks are starting to do that now. I mean, UpBank probably, no affiliation any of these banks, by the way, but UpBank probably started that trend to give people analytics inside their bank account. And now it's just really taken off, which is wonderful to see. Another tip that we've had for many years is kind of just setting some time aside to check in with yourself. Even if it's just a calendar reminder, use your Google or your Microsoft account or Apple. And you just say, you know, I won't say something Siri, but you could say something like that and then remind me in 30 days to do whatever the thing is that you need to do. I used to have a calendar reminder of that too, because I knew I would get paid at the end of the month. So I set the reminder for the day after, for the first of every month, so that I knew that that was the day that I sit down and spend 10 minutes just making sure my money's going in the right place.
Yeah. And that's your chance to check in with your goal as well. And so, okay, I didn't save $1,000 this month. I only saved $700. Is that going to set me back? Am I going to need to make some adjustments to what I'm spending money on next month? Am I going to have to take on up some extra shifts?
I'm going to give you a bit of a challenge, Kate. We often do these shows here on the Australian Finance Podcast where we tell people about some of the bank accounts that offer high amounts of interest. Can you tell us some of the bank accounts in under 2 minutes?
Ooh, ING has always been a pretty good one. There are a number of criteria you have to meet, so keep in mind that you need to be able to meet them to actually get the benefit of that high interest. So I think that's one of the highest at the moment. It's got a 5 in front of it. So that's pretty good right
now
in 2024.
Good. Yep.
Another interest rate with a 5 in front of it is UBank. That has less requirements. It's only $200 deposit each month to get their interest rate. So
that's really good, actually.
That is good. Yep. Macquarie, that's in the high 4s.
Yep.
So, I'm not saying my numbers in full here because things change so quickly at the moment in Australia with bank account interest rates, but they're the three that stood out to me.
So we've got ING, Macquarie, UBank, all in the 4 or 5% range. Go and check them out. Create a list. Remember, there are rules that Kate said. For example, ING, which is the bank that I use, and it's not a recommendation. I'm just saying I have used it for years. It does offer pretty good interest rates, but there are asterisks that come with it, such as a deposit amount, a balance amount, all these different types of things, the number of times you tap your card, whatever. That a lot of the banks have them. So as you go on that savings journey, you will begin to read the asterisks and the little thing that goes down the bottom to actually understand the criteria.
So if you just Google high interest savings accounts Australia, you're going to find different comparison websites, different banks that are advertising. So you'll see what's good at the moment in terms of interest rates.
Absolutely. One of the things that we have always championed here on the Australian Finance Podcast is the ability to use these tools to automate. Whether you're automating your savings, your investing, paying your home off early, whatever the case may be, automating your money movements makes so much sense. But this study that you found, Kate, was very interesting.
Yes. So some research by Heritage Bank showed that while 3 in 4 Australians have a savings goal, a huge 70% don't have automatic savings set up to help them reach their goals. And it's become even easier these days, whether your bank has a way where you can just set up an auto transfer every month, that $200, when you get paid, goes straight into your emergency fund or straight into your Euro 2025 fund. That happens every month. Or things like UpBank, where it automatically can split based off percentages or dollar amounts when your paycheck hits your account, which is quite cool. Not many banks offer those features, but more and more banks are trying to offer savings tools because they want to keep the money in the bank. It makes sense for them. Savings tools, automation tools, budgeting tools. So make use of them if possible so you don't have to think about it, because we already make enough decisions every day. We've got enough mental load. We don't need to decide if we're going to save this month.
Yeah, it's putting your money on autopilot. It's actually a wonderful way to sit down with your partner and just say, hey, I know you don't want to do this. I don't really want to do it either. But we're going to just come up with this really basic rule. Maybe there's three bank accounts. It's like, you know, spending, like bills, and then savings. You know, there's three accounts, your automated amount of money. You know roughly when you might get paid. Or if you're a contractor, like a tradie, or maybe you work for yourself, you know it's going to be a bit uneven. So maybe in that case, you don't do it on exact days or something like that. Like Up can read your bank statement, but maybe you do it, you give yourself an extra couple of days buffer to build those in. Interestingly, they mustn't have, this is a survey from a little while ago by Heritage, but I reckon if Heritage surveyed the Australian finance podcast community, they would find it's 70% of people do automate some part of their finance or investing. So you can do it beyond savings as well. We do have a free course, an automation course. It's 100% free and it will automatically help you.
Automate you?
I don't know. It's guaranteed to help you automate something. I'll give you that. That's my promise. So if you go in there, we did that with the guys from Perla who automate a lot of investing. Full disclosure, they are
responsible.
We also
tell you what not to automate in that course, which is also important.
Yes, because some things shouldn't be automated because some things do charge you more if you just forget about it, such as car insurance, which is something that you probably should review every year manually, like force yourself to do it because you could save a few hundred dollars every year.
Which means more money to your savings goal. So yep. Win-win. The next tip we've got is find an accountability buddy. So someone to do it with, because finance can be not super exciting for many people. It can feel hard when you're working over 12 months for a savings goal and it just feels like a bit of a slog. So find someone who's going to check in with you each month, see how you're tracking. Even better if they're working towards a similar savings goal or they're going on the trip with you. Like, do it together. Discuss how you're going. Give each other tips and tricks. Share your money hacks. You don't have to do it alone.
No, not at all. And even, to be honest, just listening to this podcast, you probably feel like you're getting some of this. If your friends around you don't want to talk about it, just come and send us your questions, send us an email, say hello on social media.
Hang out with us on YouTube.
Yeah. There's heaps of stuff going on. We do live shows, so you can come say good day. But it doesn't even need to be your partner. So, you know, if your husband, for example, doesn't like to talk about money, maybe you've got a girlfriend that you can catch up with, you go and get a coffee, and it just happens to be that, you know, it's in conversation. We did have some people come up to us. This is going back quite a few years at their FinFest event in Sydney. Some ladies come up to us and said they have joint savings. They're not, you know, in a partnership or anything like that. It's just four of them that have like a money club and they all contribute to one savings account for one person every month and it just goes around in a circle. So it feels like they're getting ahead quicker by working together, which is kind of cool. So what else have we got?
Well, I thought we should just quickly touch on saving with someone else because a lot of people are saving towards a shared goal with their partner.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're saving up for a house deposit with your sibling. Like, people are doing all sorts of things these days. And if you're saving for something together, I think it's just super important that you've got a shared vision and you're thinking about what you're both contributing to the goal because it's not always the exact same financial amount.
Yeah, some people have the income, but they don't have the savings and vice versa. I've seen this happen. Unfortunately, it turns out pretty bad sometimes when it's with family and friends. The key to all of this, I think, is being on the same page, the shared vision, but also documenting it. And what I mean by that is just know if you are going to exit this type of savings goal or whatever, why would you exit it and how would you exit it? But if it's, you know, a savings goal between you and your partner, the easiest thing to do is just try and find and balance each other's priorities. So find out what your partner is interested in. We've had Karen Ely on the show many times before, and Karen is the first to say the easiest way to establish this type of bond is actually just to hear what your partner is saying. Actually hear where their beliefs about money come from. By the way, shout out to Karen if you do want money coaching. She's a good one.
And
Nicole, but that's one of the ways to do it.
Haddo was recently on the podcast as well, and she was talking about her finances with her now husband and how he didn't have much income at one stage, but he was contributing to the renovation project through physical labor and doing a lot of the manual tasks. So there's different ways you can contribute to financial goals. I think it's just talking about it, knowing what each of your strengths are, what each of you are bringing towards the goal, and keeping each other motivated along the way.
Mm. I will say one other thing, which is kind of niche, but I hope people understand where this is coming from. Last year, we went on the road in 2023. We had roughly, I think it was around about 1,200 people come to a RASC event. And one of the big things we wanted to reinforce last year was that you can bring your partner along under false pretenses. Just kidding. We would tell them that, and they would do that. But realistically, what we wanted you to do is get in the room and bring your partner along so that everyone else in the room can convince your partner. So if you can find a way that you can bring your partner into the conversation without you doing it, I think that's a really powerful way to kind of get social proof to validate what you're saying. And this is particularly the case for men. Oftentimes, the male in the relationship may feel vulnerable if they talk about savings or they talk about maybe they're not earning as much. So just making them feel as comfortable as possible and maybe highlighting that that's actually pretty common these days. And that's there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's a joint goal and you're just going to save as much money and you're going to make as much money as a team.
Yeah.
And that's a really good way to think about it.
Yeah. I think investing gets a lot of the hype and it seems cool
to
talk about, but savings, it's just like, saving money.
Just save this money.
It's so important.
Cash deposit.
So, yeah. I mean, if no one else tells you savings cool, I will tell you that savings
cool. Kate will break out the confetti. Okay. Last thing that we wanted to talk about on the show is just to how to stay motivated, Kate.
Yes. So, we've talked about this with Evan in our Brain Hacks series. It's that messy, not messy middle, but the sort of drudgy, muddy middle bit where you've set the goal, your excitement's gone down now because it's just that 1 or 2 or 3 years of saving. Maybe it's for a house deposit and it just feels like, oh, it's just happening every month. Why can't I speed it up? Mm. And it can feel at that point easy to, oh, why don't I do something else with my money or go in a different direction or suddenly, oh, well, maybe I could go on this trip this weekend and completely derail my savings goal for the month. So if you can find ways to celebrate your small milestones along the way, so break it down as much as possible. When I was saving for my Euro adventure that got well and truly postponed by COVID, I had written down all of the different, each $500 increment on a poster of how much I needed. I think I was saving up for $10,000 over 2 years at the time. And so every time I got paid and put $500 into my travel savings account, I could cross off a $500 increment on that poster. And that was something small that helped me stay motivated. But maybe it's checking with your friend, going out for a coffee with a friend or your partner to celebrate. Oh, we've made it another $500 towards our savings goals. Just something to keep you motivated along the way.
That's why you see in a lot of the FIRE community and the bloggers, they always have the savings goals. So they have like the savings rate, which is the difference between your income and your expenses every month. So what you save. And they have like a little graph that shows like how much did they save in March? How much did they save in April? How much, you know, and it shows it over time. And sometimes it's negative and sometimes it's positive. And just over time, you kind of get the kicks from just saving more and more and more. It's a wonderful way to do it. And I think the key thing that you've brought to life there is just find a way to celebrate that. Find a way to reward yourself along the journey. And that will help keep you motivated for the next goal.
Yeah. And even just for me, it's setting goals outside of my finances to work towards to give me that regular feeling of achievement and progress because, yeah, my financial goals, savings goals, they're going to take years, some of them. Some of them are going to be 10 or 20 years, my financial independence goal, for example. So that's happening in the background. I'm not going to think about it all the time because otherwise I'll go, oh, I'm still ages away. So I let that happen in the background. I've automated as much as I can. I do regular check-ins, but not to the point where I'll be tempted to make changes. And then while that's happening, I focus on everything else that's awesome in life. Mm. So I'm not really thinking about my finances all the time now.
Yeah, I like that. So just in review, not that many people have crazy amounts of money. And I want to frame that because even if you're just getting started, to be well and truly above average, you can do it. You can do it too. Even if you're on a single income and you've got kids, you can do it. And it starts with that mindset of being prepared to look at your finances, to be judgment-free of yourself and be kind to yourself and start saving. There are fewer barriers in place, I would say, now than maybe 5 years ago, Kate, where
there's so much technology to help you, whether it's budgeting tools, tools to track your spending, tools to automate your finances. So look for banks or other apps and tools that are going to help you.
Yeah. There will be roadblocks. As Kate highlighted at the beginning of the show, things like separation, if you've got health concerns, if you're caring for a family member. The list goes on of big roadblocks that will get in your way. But then there's also little roadblocks like social events and social activities where you may feel compelled to go out. One of the things that we've often talked about on the show is just it's a rearranging of priorities. We've got activities that you can take on the RASC education site. They're all free. And there's some wonderful courses on there, such as our automation course, which hopefully now most people do. I do it every month. I should say I don't even do it because it
does
itself.
You don't do the course. You have your finances automated.
Yeah, I automate everything nowadays.
But I mean, if you want to do the automation course every month, go for it.
Yeah, if you want to just keep enrolling in the same course, just automate your enrollments, that's fine. But seriously, there are distinct steps you can take. Your path won't be, in a straight line. There may be some bumps along the way, but that's okay.
Just think saving gives you more choices in the future because you have more of a buffer. You have more options. If you want to go on that trip, they've got that money put aside. I know how hard it is to battle our brains because we've got that instant desire to have, find, spend everything right now. And it's very hard to think 10 years, let alone 1 year ahead. So it's hard, but I think it's really worth it. And it will help you with investing as well.
Absolutely. If you want to be the type of person that feels confident with money, feels like you can provide for yourself and for others, the way you get to that is through investing. But the only way you get to sustainable investing is through sustainable saving. The old saying, you can't invest your way out of a savings mistake. It always just keeps catching up. So you can save your way out of an investing mistake though, which is the irony, but it's a good thing. You can do a spending review or you can use an app. I think you mentioned PocketSmith before.
Yep.
And your bank can also help you categorize spending. If you are like me and you just want to look through your statements, you can just download a PDF or you can just look through it. There are some great savings rates around at the moment. Please review your bank account. Currently, ING, Macquarie, UBank all offer pretty compelling rates.
And there's always plenty that we don't mention on the show that are good. So just do a bit of a research online. Reddit or forums often have a list of really well paying interest rates.
Absolutely. If you can find someone to save with, it's a good thing. It will help you. Even if you don't have that though, you can join us every week on the podcast. You can go online, you can join Facebook groups and these types of things. Saving with someone else can be tricky at times, but forgiveness of them and understanding of their situation, their beliefs towards money will actually help you in the long term because it will help you understand where you're at with them as well. Staying motivated along the way, how can people do that?
They can celebrate the milestones along the way.
Yes, just imagine Kate with the texter just scrubbing it out. Every $500 achievement, it's a milestone, wonderful.
Use your accountability buddy to celebrate and regular check-ins to see the progress you're making. If you have a setback, that doesn't mean your goal is completely kaput. Think about it. Reset, reflect, and start again.
Yes, wonderful. There are heaps of free courses on the RASC education site. We'd be delighted if you take one. We don't get anything from it because it's free, but go on there, make the most of them because there's so many people have contributed to those things and we just really do hope that you can make the most of it. If you are looking to save, buy property, if you are just wanting to understand more about tax, we have something called the RASC Road Trip, which is a 6-part kind of all-in-one course. It's 6 individual courses. Think of them like modules. You can get them done in an hour. You tick them all off. It's actually wonderful. So go and check those out and share them with your friends and family. Kate, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast. We hope you learned something new and were able to take one thing away from this episode.
If you're keen to learn more, head on over to RASC Education and take one of our free money and investing courses. You could even become a RASC Core member for less than your Netflix subscription each month. And don't forget to subscribe for new episodes in your inbox every week.
Plus, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and send any questions our way via the link in the description. And before we go on, did this podcast contain personal financial advice just for me?
Absolutely not, Kate. Our podcast actually contains general financial information only. What that means is the information does not take into account your financial needs, goals, objectives, or even your situation. So because of that, it's important that you consider if the information is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on it.
If that all sounds a bit confusing or you're still working out what your needs are, it's a great idea to consult a licensed and trusted financial planner. And don't forget to do your own research.
InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10, and to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs.
This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high-growth strategy focuses on longer-term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already, over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni, and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property.
If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian property podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of Rascor, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax? I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All Rask users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the Rask community uses each and every day. Number 8, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number 9, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the Rask YouTube channel. It is completely free, and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the Rask network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the Rask Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we are on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. Rask Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the Rask Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000, and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support Rask and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the Rask network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.